You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to this day in history with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Yes, this day in history, going back to 1993 for the official coming into effect of the Maastricht Treaty, or officially known as the Treaty on European Union. So this is what created the EU as we know it today. It was really sort of the final culminating point, and really a sort of half a century long process that had really begun at the end of World War II.
At The Hague are gathered 800 delegates representing 23 European nations. Men and women of all walks of life, they, like France's wartime Premier Edward Daladier, have come to seek the first United States of Europe. The Dutch royal couple, welcoming Mrs. Churchill and Anthony Eden, greet the delegates who include Leslie Haw Belisha. Not sponsored by any one government, yet willed by every nation, The Hague meeting seems to the people of Europe another groping but positive step for peace. Winston Churchill, in his role as world statesman, presides over the inaugural session. Party politics are thrust into the background as the man who gave Europe back its freedom receives the acclaim of its representatives. In the countries around them, the Hague delegates see other hopeful signs for a united Europe. The five-power alliance signed at Brussels last month. Above all, the economic cooperation created by the Marshall Plan nations. As France's ex-socialist Premier Ramadier addresses the conference, it becomes clear that this movement is one that transcends all parties and all frontiers. In this medieval hall of knights, Belgium's ex-Premier Van Zeeland addresses the delegates. As he speaks, the plan for the continent's federation becomes brighter.
Pour lequel tant d'hommes, tant d'Européens et tant d'autres, en pleine conscience, mais aussi en toute confiance, ont fait le sacrifice de leur vie.
Calling a Europe desperately seeking a sign of hope amid a mass of war talk, Winston Churchill says,
"It is not a movement of parties, but a movement of peoples. It must be all for all. Europe can only be united by the heartfelt wish and vehement expression of the great majority of all the peoples in all the parties in all the freedom-loving countries, no matter where they dwell or how they vote. We cannot aim at anything less than the union of Europe as a whole, and we look forward with confidence to the day when that union will be achieved."
That was part one of This Day in History. Part two will be right back after a quick break.
Playing one night only at Villa Maria Winery, Marlon Williams, accompanied by the Auckland Philharmonia Orchestra. An incredible homecoming performance from your 2018 Silver Scroll winner, reimagining his number one album, Make Way for Love, and more. Marlon Williams live with the APO, Saturday, February 16th at Villa Maria Winery. Tickets on sale Wednesday from Ticketmaster.
Mods, greasers, rockabilly pinups, the very vintage day out is this weekend at ASB Showgrounds. Celebrate the best in vintage and retro with the 19 Black Miss Pinup NZ pageant, live performers, vintage vendors, high tea, a bake-off, photo safari, sewing lectures, display cars, and so much more. Cooler than a velvet painting of Elvis, hotter than a leather jacket in the sun. The very vintage day out this Saturday and Sunday, Pavilion 6, ASB Showgrounds. Tickets from Ticketmaster or at the door.
Hakarongo mai, it's Māori words, because he waka eke noa. Karawhiua, give it heaps, go hard.
Your mark's really grown compared with my Sam, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, Sam! Karawhiua, kick it, boy! Yeah, you'll kick it next time.
Karawhiua, give it heaps, go hard. Māori words. Karawhiua. Give it a go.
Mummy, how do I keep on the cutting edge of great new music?
Well, when a DJ loves a record very, very much, they do a special kind of cuddle.
Never mind, I've sorted it out.
The answer to your problems. Follow 95BFM on Spotify for a lovingly curated collection of what's new, what's hot, and what's good in music.
October features Julian Dine, No Name, Yves Tumor, Orchestra of Spheres, and more.
95BFM's monthly Spotify playlist. Stay au fait.
Yes, we now return to this day in history. When we left off, Winston Churchill was sort of supporting the cause of European unification. However, the party he was a member of, the UK Conservative Party, would retain a significant Eurosceptic wing that would delay the passing of the Maastricht Treaty in 1991.
In the Dutch city of Maastricht, on December the 11th, 1991, a treaty was signed that had huge significance for the future of Europe. But for some individual states, it caused nothing but trouble. The deal set 1999 as the final deadline for a single European currency, gave the European Commission increased power, and extended the rights of the European Parliament. Prime Minister John Major hailed the result as game, set and match for Britain. He had negotiated away the word federal from the treaty and got Britain an opt-out from the social chapter and single currency. All this led to opposition charges that Britain would be left in the slow lane of Europe. John Major was pleased with his efforts nonetheless.
I believe that the agreement that we have agreed this evening fully reflects Britain's interests on economic and monetary union, foreign policy, defence, and the future development of the community. I shall have no hesitation in recommending it to Parliament and to the British people.
Germany's Chancellor Kohl was the one who'd come up with the compromise that allowed Britain off the hook. With the French, he was the most enthusiastic European. The Italian Foreign Minister, Mr. Michaelis, outlined the glowing future.
I do consider that from the viewpoint of people who do believe in the European integration process, that the bottle is more than half full. And this is a victory for Europe and a victory for the integration process.
Ce dont on discutait, c'est énorme.
What we've discussed is really monumental, said France's President Mitterrand. It measures up to our highest hopes. It was a remarkable turnabout for a man who'd been threatening a veto, and shows how, in a classic European fashion, everyone can claim success. For France, that's the firm promise of a single European currency.
But the toast soon turned sour. The citizens of Denmark were to vote against the treaty in a referendum, causing enormous problems for the rest of the 12 member states and threatening the whole process.
Yes, but despite these interruptions, the Maastricht Treaty would eventually come into force on this day in history, 1993.
Good evening. After months of debate and division, the government has finally ratified the Maastricht Treaty. But it happened as Europe's money markets were in turmoil and the ERM was virtually dead. The government has finally ratified the Maastricht Treaty. The last obstacle, the legal challenge by Lord Rees-Mogg, was withdrawn this afternoon. But even as that was happening, senior politicians throughout Britain and Europe were saying that the treaty has become irrelevant because of what's happened to the European exchange rate mechanism. The ERM has virtually collapsed as the result of an agreement in Paris in the early hours of the morning, which allows currencies to fluctuate much more freely. The value of some European currencies has been tumbling on foreign exchange markets since then. One of the main goals of the Maastricht Treaty is monetary union in Europe and a single currency, but that can't happen without a strong ERM. The opponents of Maastricht say it's all a supreme irony.
Finance ministers put a brave face on their historic climb down, saying the ERM shake-up was only temporary. But they couldn't disguise what everyone knew. Their 11th-hour compromise had been a desperate measure, aimed at preventing total breakdown.
Over the months and all of the examinations, we did not find solutions or common ground, and it's of no secret today that we were on a number of the stages within minutes of a collapse.
The ERM's overriding aim had been to provide currency stability. Until this morning, currencies in the system were allowed to fluctuate against each other by a maximum of just 2.25% or 6%. But in the new system, the bans for all except Germany and Holland are widened to 15%, so broad that the notion of currency stability is just about dead. Even the pound could now fit comfortably within the system at its old central rate, though that's not on the government's agenda. The markets were unimpressed by the claims that the changes would be temporary. They took advantage of the wider bans to sell all the weaker currencies, including the franc, which fell sharply. French politicians had most cause for bitterness. The agreement, which amounts to a suspension of the ERM, destroys their long-standing goal of European monetary union. The Prime Minister, though, refused to be downcast. Europe's future, he said unconvincingly, was saved. It was left to the European Commission to acknowledge the gravity of the crisis.
It's clear because it's now faced with serious risks, and the Commission will have to assess carefully how we should help the community to get out of this situation.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.